Father, I just want to echo Andy's prayer, Lord, that you would speak. Lord, move me out of the way. Help us to hear from you. Hear your voice right now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I first really began to follow Jesus for the first time, I had grown up religious, going to church a lot, doing things, praying, things like that. But when I was about 23 was when I really came to a point of surrender. A lot of things that were going on in my life, a lot of sinful habits and things. And the Lord had brought me to Himself, and I had come to this point of surrender. And I would often listen to Faith Radio, 89.1 FM, which I recommend to anybody and everybody. Just you can hear God's Word. Anytime you turn it on, you'll be hearing from the Lord through Faith Radio. But I would often hear Dr. Charles Stanley and his messages. He has this radio broadcast called In Touch. And I remember one day I was actually in Montgomery. I was dating Allison, my wife now, at the time. And she had a park near her house. And I used to exercise over there sometimes after work, or she would. And I remember one time listening with my headphones to Charles Stanley. And I remember specifically that he was preaching about fasting, and I thought that was a real unique thing. I had never really heard about it. I grew up in the Catholic Church. I had heard about Lent and, you know, giving up some things and things like this, but had never really thought about that concept of fasting, going without food, drawing closer to God. And so I listened intently. I thought that was the neatest message about fasting. Well, fasting, as I mentioned earlier, is most of the time, just about always, it goes along with prayer. It's coupled with prayer. And when you hear about fasting, you hear about fasting and prayer. Well, let me ask you this morning, do you ever fast? And if so, how often do you fast? Why do you fast? Jesus said in Matthew 6:16, as he was teaching his disciples, he taught them about prayer. And in verse 5 of Matthew 6, Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." And he went on there to teach them about praying. He was teaching his disciples about praying. And then in verse 16 of the same chapter, he moves on to teaching them about fasting. And in verse 16, Jesus said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites." And he goes on from there. But if you notice there, Jesus didn't say, "If you fast." He didn't say, "If you do." He said, "When you do." He assumed that his disciples would want to fast. It sounds just like the prayer teaching here. When you pray, in other words, he expected them to do it. They were going to do it. When you do it, here's some instruction. And then he just moved on to fast. And when you fast, here's some things. And so he taught his disciples about fasting and when they would fast, expecting that they would fast. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 9. Isaiah chapter 58, right about in the dead center of your Bible. Just open to the center. And in this passage, we see the type of fast that God has chosen. The fast that's pleasing to God. The fast God has chosen. Listen to verses 6 through 9, what God tells us in His Word. "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. To set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help. And he will say, 'Here am I, the fast that God has chosen. The fast that God has chosen, we see first of all in this passage of Scripture, the fast that God has chosen brings freedom. The fast that God has chosen brings a number of things that we'll see. But first of all, we see that the fast that God has chosen brings freedom. Look at verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? The fast God has chosen brings freedom. God speaks there of chains. Chains that hold people and cords that hold people. And things oppressing people. Yokes. Yokes of bondage. Well, think about that for yourself. Think about this in your life. What chains are there in your life? What chains are holding you? What cords are holding you back? What is oppressing you? What yoke, what heavy yoke is upon you over your shoulders? That large piece of wood weighing you down. What is it for you? I know what it is for me. I know certain things for me. What is it for you? You need to examine that. You need to think about that. What are yours? And know that the fast God has chosen brings freedom. It breaks all of these chains, these cords. What's oppressing you breaks the yoke. There's a story of a man that was in India at a bazaar marketplace selling his quail. He had a covey of quail there, and he had a stake, a wooden stake driven in the ground, and each of the quail that he was selling had a little cord tied around their little bird ankle, and all they would do is walk around in a circle around this stake. That's all they could do. No flying, just walk around in a circle around that stake. Well, this man came along and just had compassion on those quail and just felt bad for them. He just said, I want to buy them all. Let me buy all those. And so he was like, okay, well, sure. And so the man bought all of them, and he went to untie all of them, and he was going to set them all free. And he was cutting all the cords, and the man was saying, well, wait, you're just going to set them free? And he said, well, I bought them. And the man said, well, I guess you can do what you want with them. And so the man took off all the cords on all their little ankles and got them all together, and he put them all on the ground. And then he said, shoo, go. But they just stayed there. And he ran after him, and he said, shoo. And he kept trying to fluff them up and push them on, and they wouldn't go anywhere. And the most he could get them to do is to fly up in the air just a little bit, and then they would all land, and they'd all start walking around in a circle again. And we laugh at that, but that's me, and that's you. Jesus Christ has set you free. If you're a believer, if you are a Christian, you have been set free from sin and its penalty, and you've been set free from the power of sin and death over your life. You are now, as a believer, free to walk away from that which drew you before. That's what Christian freedom is. It's knowing that God loves you no matter what you do, say, or think. As a believer, you're His, and you're free. But Christian freedom is also being able to walk away from that which drew you before. You're free from the power of sin and its hold over you now. But how often do you go back to your old habits, and how often do you walk around acting like there's some chain on you? It's a lie. There's not. You're free. Jesus is trying to fluff you up, saying, get out of here, fly away, soar away. You're free from this stuff. You're free from these chains, these cords, what's oppressing you, the yoke. You're free. The fast God has chosen brings freedom. It not only brings freedom, it also brings ministry. Look at verse 7. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood?" We see the three greatest needs there of humanity. We see the need for food, the need for shelter, the need for clothing. The greatest human needs. And God says, "Is not my fast, is not the fast that I have chosen to provide for the poor wanderer with shelter, to share your food with the hungry, to see the naked and clothe him?" The fast God has chosen brings ministry. It leads to action. It leads to action. I spoke with a man the other day. I was praying some right in this area, and I was praying some about heart to heart that we have come up. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But I drove down. I was curious and just drove down to that O'Connor Tennis Center and just drove down there, just kind of in a spirit of prayer, and pulled in the parking lot. And as I was leaving, this man stopped me. He was going, "Come back, come back." So I drove back there, and it was a man from India. He said, "You're a Christian." And I said, "Yeah." And at first I said, "How'd you know?" And he saw my Faith Radio magnet on my car. And he's a Christian too. And so, of course, immediately we start talking together about the Lord and fellowshipping together. And he asked me what I'm doing. And, you know, "I'm an interim pastor over here. I'm praying about some things and looking at some things. And, you know, what are you doing?" And he was in a state of prayer. We got to talking about the things of the Lord. And he mentioned a few times about action and how we can pray and pray, but then there needs to be action. And he kept mentioning James, how faith without works is dead. We can have a strong, bold, amazing faith in the Lord, and we can pray. We can pray for hours on end and then go to bed and not do anything. And that's a good thing. I'm not down in prayer, but it's faith and action. Faith without works is dead. And faith and prayer should result in our action. And when we hear from the Lord, then we need to step out and do. We need to do what we hear, as James tells us. To not be just hearers of the word, not just don't hear the Lord's will, don't know His will and sense it in your heart and sense what He's calling you to do and not do it, but hear it and do it. It leads to action. Without works, it's dead. But this faith, this fasting that God chooses, brings ministry. This past Friday, I fasted on Friday. And as I did, you just see more ministry opportunities. I noticed as I fasted that day, and I work at a car place, Jack Ingram, and I noticed as I fasted that day, it seemed like ministry opportunity after ministry opportunity kept coming up right there. And I was trying to work. And I was working. I was doing what I was supposed to do. But on the side, these things would come up. And there's three other. One man is a lay minister, and then two other ministers that preach at places that worked there at that Jack Ingram. And somehow we all gathered together and we all were just talking about the Lord outside. We're just waiting on customers, you know. But so we have time to talk. But we're all talking about the Lord and sharing about the Lord. And God is doing things. He's building us all up, encouraging. You know, other workers, you know, come by. They just sit and just kind of join in the conversation. And they're hearing the Word of God and the things that we're all talking about. And then shortly after that, another man that I work with that's worked there for years came up and we began to talk. And he opened up with me about three deaths that he's had in his family over the last year. And particularly his sister, and how much he's grieving about his sister. And we were just talking about the Lord and talking about these things. And I was able to minister to him. I had a while to minister to him. And you notice that. The fast that God chooses brings ministry. It brings ministry. As we fast, we're more in tune to God, and we see these ministry opportunities. And perhaps they're always there. Maybe we're just not as in tune to them as we should be. But the fast God chooses brings ministry. So it brings freedom. It brings ministry. It also brings glory. Look at verse 8a. Then also the latter part of verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. And then the end of that verse says, then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. What a picture. Just a picture of God's glory all around you, surrounding you. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. God is saying here, the fast that He's chosen, it'll bring freedom, it'll bring ministry, but then as we're in that fast, says that your light, the light of Christ, is what it is, will break forth like the dawn. You'll have that glow about you, that you've been with the Lord, that you're spending time with the Lord. And then His glory will be your rear guard. The glory of God will be behind you. The glory of God surrounds you. And you're shining bright. You're shining bright for Jesus. It brings glory. You know, that picture of the gleam of dawn, that ray of sunshine. You know how it is when the clouds are there and all of a sudden a break happens in the clouds and immediately you see a ray just come out through those clouds and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And God says, that's you. That will be you. It won't be your light, but it'll be the light of Christ shining through you. When I was praying about the heart-to-heart, as I mentioned to you a little while before, I was praying what we've printed in the Friendly Fellowship. And the first thing I was praying was, Lord, show me your heart. And I prayed that. I was right over just across the street and I was sitting in my car and I prayed, Lord, show me your heart. And you know, the thing that the Lord gave me, what He spoke to me, was from John 8. And in my own spirit, I heard Jesus just saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever, He says, whoever, anyone, everyone, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the thing God spoke to my spirit was, I just envisioned just His light, His glory, just kind of over Highland Avenue Baptist Church. And I was asking Him, show me your heart. And I just envisioned the light of Christ, His glory, that He's the light of the world. And just how that light just wants to spread, that He wants to spread it all over the world. And also in the Friendly Fellowship was printed Psalm 46:10. And that came to mind. Be still, God says, and know that I am God. And so I imagine just God in all His glory being there as we're still and His presence. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. And then I just saw that His heart is just for that glory, for that light to just spread all over all the nations, all over the world. The light of Christ over the whole world. I will be exalted in the earth, He says. And that's what God spoke to me about. Show me your heart. Show me your heart, Lord. Just that His light, His glory wants to be over the whole earth, over every human being. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. In Exodus 33, starting in verse 18, Moses asked God. It says, then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, He said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. And Moses got to see the glory of God just on his back. Just the back of it, the glory of God. But that was Moses' heart. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And he prayed about it. He asked God, can I see your glory, Lord? Do you want to see his glory? Do you want his glory to be over your life? Well, he says, the fast that I have chosen brings freedom. It brings ministry. It brings glory. And then we reflect his glory. Just like the moon is nothing but a cold, dark stone, but it reflects the glory of the sun. And so it is with you. As we're in his presence, we reflect his glory. Well, finally, two more, I'm sorry. The fast that God has chosen brings healing. It brings healing. Look at the second part of verse 8. And when, let me get back here with you. And your healing will quickly appear. The fast that God has chosen brings healing. Your healing will quickly appear. I wanted to show you this little box that I have here. Of course, it's empty. The empty box. Can everybody see that? But I'll shut this. And there's only one little boy that's already seen this. But I'll shut this box. And then quickly, I can pull a rabbit out of that box very quickly. Well, I use that just to illustrate a little picture that God says, right now, you don't have my healing. But verse 8, and your healing will quickly appear. In a moment, God can bring your healing. In an instant, it's not there, and then it can appear. What kind of healing? There are many kind of healings. Maybe that quick healing is going to be in a relationship that you have that's been ruined, devastated for years. Maybe through this fast that God has chosen, the healing can appear that quick. Maybe it's from a habit. Maybe you need healing from a habit. It can be that quick. Maybe it's an addiction. That quick. Maybe it's emotionally. Maybe you need healing emotionally. And it can quickly appear. Maybe it's physically. We know that God can instantly heal you. It can quickly appear. So not only does the fast that God has chosen bring freedom and ministry and glory and healing, finally it brings answers. The fast that God has chosen brings answers. Look at the first part of verse 9. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. The fast God's chosen brings answers. It makes you more aware of God's presence, more in tune to God's presence. Now, he doesn't love you anymore because you fast. And he doesn't love you anymore because you fast longer. He can't love you any more than he already does. But it's about seeking him and drawing closer to him and praying. It's about fasting and praying together, coupling those things, seeking his answers in a decision. Maybe it's a decision that you need to make, seeking his direction, something you need to know. And so you fast. You fast for his answers. I fasted before a number of times for direction. I remember specifically a few months ago fasting. And at the end of my fast, I remember I was walking in the neighborhood and just came to this area that's kind of empty where they're doing some building and God giving me some answers. I just knew. I knew a couple of specific things that were very important that will help guide me now for months to come, maybe years. Help guide me. Just a couple of things that I needed to know. And through that fast, and then I knew the fast was over. I knew he was saying, okay, I've given you these answers that you seek. Sometimes it's for direction. Well, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you as we close this message. As you know, we have entered a time of prayer at Highland Avenue Baptist Church, leading up to Heart to Heart. And what are we doing? The challenge is for you to be praying for this Heart to Heart. And what are you praying about? You're praying, basically, God, Lord, show me your heart. What is your heart? And it's printed in your friendly fellowship. You can get a friendly fellowship as you leave this morning. They're in the church foyer. But you can pray along those lines. Lord, show me your heart. What is your heart for me? Show me your heart. And then you can pray, Lord, show me my heart. Show me my heart. And then, Lord, what needs to change? Because when you see His heart, and you see your heart, there's bound to be some changes. That's what I noticed, some big changes that need to take place the other day when I was praying. Then we need to pray, Lord, show our church, Highland Avenue Baptist Church, show us as a church, show us your heart. The whole congregation at Highland Avenue, the believers you have at Highland Avenue Baptist, show us your heart. And then show us as a church, show us our heart. What is the heart of the church? And then what's the difference? What needs to change, Lord? What needs to change? And then we're seeking His face. We're seeking His direction. We're seeking His will. What is He desiring at this time in the life of Highland Avenue Baptist? Well, I want to challenge you to pray. And you can do that specifically by signing up. Many of you have already signed up for the prayer vigil. As you leave the sanctuary, turn to your right. There'll be a bulletin board just past the offices. There are two prayer sheets. And there's a whole list of open lines that you can sign. And many of you are already signing, are already praying during this 12-hour period next Saturday. And that's one thing you can do. You can sign that. You can sign for much more than one slot. You don't have to come here to the church to pray. You pray wherever you are. You just sign up at that time and you just remember that time and you pray at that time. But be praying leading up to it. And my challenge here today is maybe God is leading us to fast during this time too. You may want to fast. You may want to fast the one that God has chosen during that time. And that's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. It's not something you tell people that you advertise. The only reason I've shared with you is to bring God's Word to light, to show an example. But that's between you and the Lord, but maybe you want to fast and pray along those lines. And then, Sunday morning, we'll worship the Lord, and we'll come together for a meal. The fast will be broken in a wonderful way. We'll have a wonderful meal. And we'll talk about what has God said? What has He been speaking to our hearts? So I challenge you to pray, to be praying. Fast if the Lord leads you to it. And let me just throw this out here. This was a great book on fasting. When I was in seminary, we read this book. It's called Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough by Elmer Towns. And I just want to throw, at the very beginning of the book, there's this warning. I'll just throw this out here. The fasts suggested in this book are not for everyone. Consult your physician before beginning. Expectant mothers, diabetics, and others with a history of medical problems can enter the spirit of fasting while remaining on essential diets. While fasting is healthful to many, the nature of God would not command a physical exercise that would harm people physically or emotionally. I throw that out there. And I also wanted to mention to you a couple of other fasts. Here's a simple definition of fasting: a voluntary withdrawing from food and or drink or other fleshly appetite for a specified period of time. It's not something a Christian has to do, but can choose to do, from the Scripture. Scripture in general points out three different types of fast. There's a normal fast that you can do, and this is no food, only liquids like water, juice, etc. It can last for one day, such as in Judges 20:26. That's a one-day fast. And that's a great place to start. You may want to do that, leading up to heart to heart. And then there's a 3-day fast. Paul did this right after getting saved. Then there's a 40-day fast. Several examples in the Bible. This author writes, several men alive today who have done 40-day fasts and would say it was absolutely life-changing. But they still took in liquids, of course. The human body, you would actually die physically doing a very long at all without food and water. So it's a miracle. When Moses fasted for 40 days, that's with the intervention of God. But men, and I'm sure women today, this lists a few men that have done it. Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. James Dobson, Focus on the Family. Jerry Falwell, they've done 40-day fasts, of course, without food. That's a normal fast. Then there's the partial fast. And this is good if you have diabetes, hypoglycemia, or some other condition which precludes a normal fast. In the partial fast, you omit certain foods for a while, but not others. This is in Daniel chapter 1. He and three Hebrew children did a partial fast, and at the end were stronger and healthier than those that were eating what they wanted. Elijah did this on two occasions. That's the partial fast. And then there's the absolute fast, and that's what Moses did. He went on this kind of fast for 40 days. And this is where nothing enters your mouth at all. It can be done, and can only be done for a very short time, and consult a doctor. And the purpose of fasting, a way to seek God by denying the physical in order to focus on the spiritual. For this reason, prayer and fasting must always go together, or it does you no good spiritually. There's a group called the Tribe of Judah at ASU, Alabama State University, and they came and sang at our church one time, and I got to know some of them, and on occasion I'd go over to Faithful Gospel. Some of them went over here, and they were having this event called Judah Fest that they prepare for weeks, and it may have even been months. And I got a copy of their calendar, and they had all these different fasts. If you're in the Tribe of Judah, it's this chorus singing group. If you're in the Tribe of Judah, you follow all these fasts leading up to the Tribe of Judah, where many souls would be saved, and they would see many, many salvations. And one thing, often, you know, there might be different types of fasts, but there's also a media fast. That's a different type of fast that you could do, where they would say, okay, no media, no cell phone, no TV, no telephone, no nothing for ever how long. So there are different ways that you can fast, different types of fast. But you let the Lord lead you. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for this teaching, Lord, on fasting. Thank you for teaching your disciples when you fast. Do this and this and this. Lord, help each of us here, Lord, to explore this with you, Lord, to seek you out. I ask that you would burden our hearts, that you would speak to each of us anytime you want us to fast, Lord, that you'd let us know the type of fast and what you want us to do. And Lord, we'll obey. We'll follow you. And we thank you that we can draw closer to you through this, receive your answers and these blessings. Thank you for it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.